And I was trying to think about that a little bit in relation to what we have to talk about this morning. And, yeah, I hear that rumble. That's weird. We've got a white noise that's rumbling. Actually, it's a train that's going to come through this theater any moment. So anyways, so that made me think probably we have a lot of things on our mind, and the more we have things on our mind, the easier it is to worry about those things. You know, I worry about things like how the Broncos are doing, and you know, with Peyton, my hero, and that kind of thing. So, but I was trying to remember the first sermon I had ever preached, and it was out of James chapter 3 in the tongue, but in the use of the tongue. But in that, I also thought back on the first passage of Scripture that I ever looked at inductively, and it would have been the passage that we're going to look at this morning concerning the context of what we're dealing with this morning. And I appreciate the songs that we were given. I guess what I'm trying to say is the emptiness that I feel from the loss of somebody important in my life is the same emptiness that I feel when I'm overwhelmed with circumstances in my life. It's very closely similar, and the loss that you feel over the loss of someone special in your life, that emptiness that's there, and the loss that you have when you're overwhelmed with circumstances in your life. And it's this draining, pulling away, hollow space that you have in your heart. And so thinking along those lines, we have a reminder for us here this morning. Most of you are aware of what Scripture says, and I've looked at this passage of Scripture that we're going to look at in just a moment probably more times than I have any other passage of Scripture. And it's not because I'm a person that's overwhelmed with circumstances so much as it is just that we constantly need these reminders. God designed for us a life that would be redemptive through Jesus Christ living within us, and that with that, then, we would live what Jesus called the abundant life, a life that Paul talks about throughout Scripture, about a life that's full of joy, full of peace, full of overwhelming excitement for being alive, for being here, for being involved in this walk of life that he's given us. In fact, we probably could call it now the Audra syndrome, because you see the sincere enthusiasm that she has, and that's attractive, it's magnetic, and it draws other people into a relationship with Jesus just as we have. We've been looking at Jesus' message from the mountain. Some of you might call it Sermon on the Mount, from Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. We've looked at the Beatitudes, where Jesus reminds disciples of Jesus to not only be doing for him, but more importantly, to just be able to rest in settling in being for him. And he mentions that in the first part of Matthew chapter 5. Then we looked at the next section that says, where Jesus is instructing us concerning our treatment of others. And our treatment of others shows what we feel about God. It shows what we feel about God's creation, other people. But more importantly, it shows how we feel about ourselves, because we wear these great big signs in how we treat others, about our self-perception and how we feel about ourselves. Then we looked at addressing the issue of the poor around us, or the needy around us, and what we do with them. We ask you to have a plan concerning those kind of people. And then last week we looked at getting connected through prayer and fasting, and we challenged you to consider a fast from something that's distracting you from your walk with the Lord. And then we looked last week at what about my stuff, and what it is to be involved in the things of this earth, and where we lay up our treasures, what we consider and define as a treasure, and then what we're laying up as treasures. And we determined that Jesus, throughout his ministry, communicated that treasures stored up in heaven are people that we have influenced in a positive way for Jesus Christ. Jesus finishes that section, and I find it fascinating that this is so connected to it. He finishes that section by continuing. He says, if you're so wrapped up in things of this earth, the stuff that we have, and if we're so wrapped up in that, that we forget what it is to lay up treasures in heaven, that God brings people into our lives. In fact, I challenged you last week with speaking to or connecting with someone that God has placed in your life. I'm amazed. Just yesterday, walking along a trail, my wife was running, I was walking, and I met a guy who had a great big camera and a great big extended lenses on it, and got talking to him, and how that ended up a great opportunity for me to speak not only about birding, but also about the Lord and about who I am and what I'm doing, even here in the great Northwest, why God has brought me here. And being able to connect with other people is so important. And it's storing up or laying up treasures in heaven where moth won't eat, where rust won't rust away, and where thief can't come in, break in, and steal. Well, when Jesus mentions all of that, then he brings that section to a conclusion by saying, therefore. Therefore, in that it connects to the part before it about where your treasure is. Because where your treasure is, there your heart is. And so in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, Jesus continues on. It's not a separate thought. It's a continuation of a thought concerning how you get wrapped up in the things of this earth. And I think it's appropriate that we would read that together. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. And I'll read it. You can follow along. I think it's a great passage of Scripture. And probably, in my estimation, the greatest words Jesus ever said. And not because I'm a worrier, but just because I think it's a constant reminder for each one of us that this life that we live is so overwhelming. We're bombarded on every hand with all things we don't have, things that we are perceived to need. And so Jesus speaks to those in the lives of not only early Christians, but in his timelessness, he speaks to us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus continues. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. Now, consider the setting that Jesus was in. He's in an outdoor amphitheater where he's able to speak. And so I get this vision that he's almost saying, look at the birds of the air, and there would have been an eagle soaring or that kind of thing. And so he says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns and think about their future and their retirement, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I, Jesus, tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these lilies. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But what are you seeking? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And I think it most appropriate that we pray here. Heavenly Father, it's easy for us to say we don't worry, but in truth, everybody that's here on this fallen world worries to some degree. It's our prayer that we might just settle into the words of Jesus here and internalize them, that they might transform us. Help us, God, in the area of worry. In Jesus' name, amen. Why worry? If one of you doesn't have anything to worry about, just see me afterwards and I'll give you several things to worry about. Because this life that we live is overwhelmingly full of things to worry, and I could give you some examples of things to worry about. This Ebola thing that's coming this way is certainly something to be concerned about. And along with many other things that are in this area. You all saw in the paper just a couple weeks ago that Get a Camp newspaper, Bigfoot was spotted off the walk trail. Yeah, I mean, he, you know, he's children and ducks people and all that kind of thing. So as we walked the trail the other night, I was looking for him and I was well protected. Let me give you a definition of worry. Worry is the unrealistic, irrational over-concern for the needs, perceived, real, or imagined, you have for yourself or for others. Let me read that again. I think it's important that we understand what worry is, because some people say, oh, I don't worry. I'm not a worrier. Well, some people over-worry. But everyone worries to some point or another. If you're human, it's certainly something that affects our emotions. Worry is the unrealistic, irrational over-concern for the needs perceived or real or imagined you have for yourself or for those around you. How is worry manifest? Worry is often manifest by the demand for control, through frustration, through anger, through fear, through physical ailments. You can get sick from worry. Isolation, isolating yourself from the world and the things that worry you. Eating disorders are often caused by worry. I'm going to sit around and stew and addictions of all kinds, and it ultimately ends up in an unproductive life with hopelessness and despair. So let's look at this passage of Scripture very briefly. We have to be out of here a little earlier today. Let's look at this passage of Scripture and see if I can't give you some things that Jesus teaches us about worry. Number one, Jesus teaches us worry accomplishes no good thing. If you think you're going to figure things out by worrying and you're going to have a better handle on things by worrying, you're sadly mistaken. Worry is not from God. Worry accomplishes nothing good. It does not gain provision. Verse 25, what does he say there? Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more than clothes? Worrying does not gain provision. You can't worry yourself into getting more. It does not add time. Verse 27. In fact, I always like to ask somebody to raise their hand. If you think you can add a single hour to your life, and I'm fascinated that Jesus looks at this and he says, life, not week, not day, your life. 1 hour added to your life in the entire expanse of your life, 1 hour added to your life. Has anybody ever done that? No. It does not add a single hour. It doesn't give you an extra day. And it doesn't solve a problem. Verse 34, each day has enough trouble. It does not change the future. Worry does nothing good. Proverbs 12:25 says, worry weighs a person down, an encouraging word cheers a person up. New Living Translation. Worry weighs a person down. You feel this load, this overwhelmingness because of worry. Philippians 4:6-7, Paul writes to the church and says, don't worry about anything. Instead, Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Peace that passes understanding. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Worry accomplishes nothing good or productive. There's no growth in worry. Secondly, Jesus teaches us worry replaces peace. Jesus says worry does not come from Him or His Father. Peace comes from God. Peace comes from trust. The more you trust, the more you're at peace. If you have trust issues, you will not experience peace. The more you trust, the more you are at peace. The more you are at peace, the less you worry. You either release your life to trust or you die with worry in your heart. And I've seen both. I've seen the person on their deathbed who has peace. And it's the most amazing thing to see a person enter into the presence of the Lord with peace because everything's settled and everything's okay. And they're not worried about their stuff. I've also seen the person screaming till their very last breath because they're not at peace. That's not a fun time, and it's not something great to take with you. Let me give you some helpful hints to lighten your worry, to help you with the concern about worry. I really think these are good, and I tried to make this as practical as I possibly could because I think it's important that you have something to take away other than just defining worry, understanding worry, and saying, yeah, I worry, so what? I know what I'm supposed to do. I know that I'm not supposed to worry. I know that I'm supposed to let this go, but how do I do that? And so I wanted to make this as practical as I can. First, let me give you some helpful hints to help you concerning worry. Number one, pray. I know that sounds almost cliche, but it's absolutely true. Give your worry to God. Pray. Especially when things truly are out of your control. There's nothing you can do about something like Ebola, but you can pray. And you can say, tell God how you feel about it, and you can say, settle this in my heart. Pray. 1 Timothy 5:7, give all your worries and cares to God. Why? Because He honestly, truly cares for you. Number two, learn God's promises from Scripture. Write them down. And you know what? You may have promises that you see stand out to you that are different than what I have to see. You ought to get a Bible to write in. And each week, as you are shown hope and promises here in the services, write them down, underline them. Write them down on your next steps card and collect them. They will help you to combat worry. In fact, it'd be an awesome thing, I think, to get a calendar and set it up at the first of the year and every day write a promise from God on each day to help you in your Christian growth. D.L. Moody used to say, you know what helps me? To borrow a Bible from somebody. I just think that where people write in the columns and write in the margin and underline particular passages that speak to them, we can learn from others about that. Write down the promises of God. Quote them. Start with Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. And here's something to consider. When's the last time you memorized a scripture verse? You know, that's still a good thing to do. Learn God's promises found in Scripture. It will help with worry. Number three, fill your life with Christian music. Positive in, positive comes out. Fill your mind and your heart. Meditate on the things of the Lord, especially music. Music speaks to our soul. Fill your life with good, solid, sound, productive Christian music. I love to borrow a vehicle from somebody. You know, hey, you can borrow my truck. Okay, jump in the truck, turn the keys on, hit the buttons. See what they're listening to. It tells you a whole lot about a person. And it also shows in their personality. describes whether or not Sunday is just for 1 hour here now or if it's for a lifetime. Number four, take action. Sooner than later is good when you're concerned about something. When something's overwhelming in your life, take action about it. I'm fascinated, you know, we get a lot of calls from people who have needs and are overwhelmed with their life circumstances. And when we get those calls, I'm always amazed it's immediate, you know, it's immediate. I mean, I got to deal with this right now. And I had a guy stop by the office when I had an office, and he says, okay, here's what I need from you. I need a ticket, I need a room, I need some money for food, and he started listing all the things. Whoa, hello, who are you? Hi, my name's Pastor Jim, nice to meet you. What are you doing here? Well, I need these things from you. Because he had an immediate need that needed met right then. And I'm like, wow, how did this happen? Did this just happen today, right now, this hour? Or did you know it was coming up to this months or even years ago? I really think oftentimes we lay things aside that we need to deal with sooner than later, especially when it comes to worry. Most things don't happen just now. Address the problem and then begin to work on it sooner than later. If you know you have a financial situation that you're facing in a month from now, why not try to address it right now? Take action. It'll help you with worry. It'll make you feel more like you're in control of the situation. Number five, surround yourself with positive people. Get a friend who understands your worries or your fears. I think this many years later, it's okay to mention his name. We had a young guy in our church who got married and moved to Indiana. And he was going to handle everything in his life in his own way. And so he started doing his finances out of his billfold in his pocket and ran out of money. So he started using plastic. And he got in a situation that was so overwhelming. His wife, his new young bride, called his family and said he's locked himself into his bedroom, overwhelmed with the worry and concern that he had in finances, and he won't come out and he won't talk to anybody. Great young Christian man. And I'll never forget his sister, Leanne. She said, this is unacceptable. And so she got her mom, and they drove from Michigan down to Indiana and banged on his door, and he didn't answer the door, but his wife did. And they came in, and Leanne says, we need to sit down at this table. We are not going to let you live your life this way. Now, that's a real friend. That's an awesome sister. And they sit down with the bills, and she looked at everything he had and all the embarrassment of it, and she said, we're going to deal with this right now. And she got on the phone and started calling the creditors, and they said, well, we would be satisfied with this amount of the bill. And she got Danny straightened out like no one I've ever seen. And he walked away from that with such a load lifted. You know what? Surround yourself with friends and get a person who understands what your worries or your fears are. And they can help you with that. Don't isolate yourself. Surround yourself with positive people, because positive people are helpful people. Number six, learn to filter. You know, the whole thing, you know, there's really something good. We live in the age of information. Information about everything is available to us now on the internet. It drives me crazy. I got to just tell you this. My son and his wife with my grandkids, I'll tell them something about raising grandkids, and they'll say, well, let me see if that's true. Well, the internet says. We live in the age of information, and he's finding out some of the things I say are absolutely true. Some of the things that I say, he says, well, that can't be true because it's not on the internet. But there is a point where we have to filter our life, especially if you're concerned about worry. You know, the whole thing, somebody says, starts to tell you something, and you go, la, 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 I'm not going to listen to this. Really, that's a good thing? Paul says Christ's followers should be ignorant of evil and knowledgeable in good. Find out what agitates or worries you personally, and then change your environment. Is there a particular music that really upsets you? Then stay away from it. Is there a television show that causes you to worry? Or are there people that just drag you down and cause you to worry? Nothing causes more worry than the news. Maybe you need to filter the news a little bit. Use friends as filters, not contributors to your worry. You know, you can still find out what's going on in the news without knowing all the fine details. You can ask people to help you with that. We had a situation in Tennessee. It's funny how things happen and continue to go on and on. There was a local little general store on this corner, little corner store, and some guy came in and he was on drugs and he pulled out a knife and said, "Give me what's in the cash drawer." And so he left with what was in the cash drawer. And so the people in the age of information kept going on and on and embellishing it. And I'll never forget, it finally got to the point that we stopped by the store and one lady says, "Well, I heard he even cut her finger off to get her ring." Yeah, it's pretty bad. We live in information overload. You heard the story about Tony Stewart in his recent accident where he took the life of a young man in a race. That got over embellished as well. Learn to filter some of that stuff. And then also learn to defer. Ask for help with what worries you. If you have a financial expectation that you really can't deal with because it's overwhelming in your life, maybe retirement, maybe some other bill, you know, it's okay to say, "You know what, I really can't deal with this. I can't handle this well. It overwhelms me. So maybe could you handle this? Could you help me with this?" So when that bill comes every month, I'll deal with this. Could you maybe deal with that? That's a great thing to do to save yourself from worry and loss of sleep. Number 8, give yourself a break. From what worries you, sometimes you need to take a time out for a set time. You know, put on the calendar, "I'm not going to address this day because it's too overwhelming to me, but I will address this 2 days from now." Give yourself a break. You know, the old "What About Bob" show, really, in counseling, there is something called taking a vacation from your problems. And sometimes we need just a break from it all to be able to say, "You know what, I'm going to let this go." I think verse 33 says it best for us. When Jesus speaks to the situation and he says, "But seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You know what? Lastly, in concluding, if you put God first in your life, worry seems to have a place that it lays aside and is diminished. And so I would encourage you, seek first God's kingdom and God's glory, and he'll help you with this issue of worry in your life.